it's Daily Liverpool's Oxcast. We're here with another week of all the best events going on in and around the city of Oxfordshire.
We're getting pretty Christmassy already. I'm going to be talking about the first Christmas show of the year, but also, sadly, the last live Friday of the year.
But don't worry, we have other things to fill the void. I'm going to be talking about Christmas Light Night and the assassination of President Kennedy.
Keep it varied.
Yeah, that's right, let's kick it off. We're going to be talking about the Soweto Gospel Choir, who are on this evening, bit of lovely music. They're a South African group of musicians who meld American spiritualism, reggae and African traditional music into a glorious sort of orchestra of voices.
It sounds really feel good.
It is so feel good. No less a figure than Brian May of Queen and Badger Killing fame has said that they have an infectious joy. And they are very, very popular. They are Grammy Award winning, also nominated for an Oscar for their backing vocals on the WALL-E soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, I know, it's weird, isn't it? But yeah, apparently they cooperated with Peter Gabriel. They have worked with big figures in the music industry, like Bono, and they've performed in front of people from Nelson Mandela to Bill Clinton.
And now they're here for us.
Well, we are obviously the last stop.
The Oxford Commoners.
Yeah, from now on, obviously, they will say they performed in front of Bill Clinton, Nelson Mandela, and the listeners of Daily Info's Oxcast.
I hope so.
You can hear them tonight. That's Wednesday, the 20th of November, at 7:30 in the New Theatre.
Also tonight, for something a bit different.
Less South African,
less
more
South
Jewish.
Less South African, more Jewish, yes. It's Blackwell's Bookshop who have invited Simon Sharma to the Sheldonian tonight from 7pm. You can hear him talk about his new book, The Story of the Jews.
Also a big television series,
isn't it? I was going to say, you might think that's a bit of a familiar title. That's because it was released in September, but also in September he screened a five-part series called The Story of the Jews on BBC Two.
Very, very good, I have been told. He is, incidentally, a brilliant historian.
Exactly. If you don't know him, he's a historian, he's authored lots of books, and he's also appeared in many documentaries, and he's just garnered loads and loads of awards for the work he does.
He has a real genius for taking as almost like an overdone subject and just finding something kind of fresh and interesting and really making you look at history with fresh eyes. I remember when I was doing the French Revolution at university.
That's one of his specialities.
Exactly. He wrote a doorstopper of a book, which basically just kind of makes you realise how sort of crazy and exciting and fascinating it was and how amazing it was for people living through the times and how they dreamed of building this new society. And he really does that. He really makes you look at something like the history of the Jews and go beyond the sort of, oh, well, they were massacred by the Romans and then they got pushed around a bit and so on and so forth, and really say, wow, this is fascinating.
And he's also obviously a brilliant orator and he's done so much broadcasting. So really, we suggest you should just give him a listen. Go along tonight to the Sheldonian. He starts at 7pm.
Brilliant. And I've got something, if you refuse to listen to South African music, if you hate Simon Sharma, I have something
How
still.
How dare you?
I know. First of all, turn off this podcast. We don't want you as one of our listeners. But you might prefer to go and see this week a piece of theatre. It's on in the Oxford Playhouse and it's called To Sir With Love. It tells actually a touching true story. To Sir With Love is based on the real story of Ricky Braithwaite. He was a black RAF fighter pilot who was unable to find employment as an engineer in post-war Britain. And took up teaching at a tough East End school instead. And so this is a new adaptation of this story. It was a very successful film with Sidney Poitier in the 60s.
I was going to say, it sounds quite filmic.
Absolutely. But it was made into a film, but this is a new version of it, and basically it talks about how he overcame prejudice and children's rebelliousness to turn his class around. And it's actually got quite a big star in it. It stars Matthew Kelly of Stars in Their Eyes fame as the headmaster of the school.
I did see him at the Playhouse Educating Rita about a year ago.
And how was he?
Very tall.
Is that the best thing about
it? No, it was good. It was, you know, like a two-hander, so yeah. he
carried it
really well.
Yeah, amazing. Well, you can see him in To Sir With Love. There's also going to be lots of music from the 1940s. It's set in like the 40s
nice.
And 50s. Yeah, it's got kind of, you know, lots of song and dance, bit of kind of Glenn Miller in the mood era. If you like Educating Yorkshire, but sort of with, you know, post-war racial themes. But that's on every night this week until Saturday at the Oxford Playhouse.
Well, the Christmas season is truly upon us.
Christmas is coming, Alwyn's getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny is an obsolete unit of currency. Sorry, what were you saying?
So Alwyn's singing, which means it's Christmas time, but also the first local panto has opened. That means it's really happening. So kicking off the Festive Theatre of 2013 is Chipping Norton's Jack and the Giant, and I went along last night. I'd never been to the theatre there, and I heard a lot of really good things about the panto, so I thought I'd check it out, get in nice and early, and I was not disappointed.
Tell us about Jack and the Giant.
It's a very traditional show, so it's really quite harmless and has a really nice kind of homemade appeal. It's definitely one for very young children and very old grandparents. It's really safe. the humour goes kind of as far as like a tiny bit of toilet humour, but nothing kind of obscene or anything. It's very, very nice.
Really kind of jumping to assumptions here. My very old grandparents demand sex and blood in every theatrical production.
They won't get any of that here.
Not even the killing of the giant?
No.
Really?
No, it's a happy ending.
What? Jack and the Giant Slayer is the original title?
No, it's a panto, Alwyn. Anyway, the show runs until January 12th, so I definitely recommend you check it out.
If you have very young children.
If it's conventional, it's quite cuddly, and you will find yourself dancing the conga and screaming for sweets. No matter how hard you try, you will not be able to help yourself. You can read a full review on dailyinfo.co.uk or check out the timetable for the Chipping Norton's Theatre.
Something for Thursday now. If you want to have a free lunch courtesy of Abundance Oxford, you can go along to Bond Square Thursday lunchtime. Abundance Oxford are a charity group who run events celebrating the kind of natural bounty of food and encouraging people not to waste food.
I think we talked about them when they did Apple Day a little bit earlier, kind of during harvest season. They had a big event for that.
Well, this is kind of like a follow-up, actually, because they basically have realised that, in part because of the wonderful warm weather we had quite late into the year, there was still tons of fruit unpicked in Oxford. So, wonderful idea. They just go around and pick unwanted fruit, take it along to Bond Square, and they have a selection of donated food that otherwise would have gone to waste. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be making fruit juice, smoothies, and hot soup. There will be a bicycle-powered smoothie maker for you to jog along on. There'll be an apple press which you can operate, and there will be free soup. And you can help by peeling, chopping, and cooking, or just have a free lunch to the sounds of live music.
And this has the best title, combining two of my favourite things.
It is called the Food Disco. You see what they did there?
Food disco. That's kind of a party.
Yeah. I might just skip straight to the food, but whichever of those halls you prefer more, it's going to be on between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. in Bond Square tomorrow. That's Thursday. And really, I think you should go along because you're also supporting a good cause and raising awareness of food waste. I tell you what, how many bananas, fresh, ripe, delicious bananas?
I don't like bananas.
Well, you're probably responsible for part of this disgusting waste.
Oh, no!
How many bananas, edible bananas, do you think the UK throws away every day?
3,000?
1.6 million bananas. Yeah, there we go. What a waste, eh? But anyway, be part of the change. Go along to Food Disco in Bond Square tomorrow.
Later on tomorrow, there is a gig at Jericho Tavern. So if you want a bit more indie folk in your life, then Jericho Tavern is going to cater to your niche need. Headlining is an alt folk band called The Moulettes, and they're supported by Liz Green. The Moulettes, not French.
What?
Got my hopes up. It's going to be all my French accent stuff. Nothing.
I was looking forward to another display of French nationalism.
None of that. But Moulettes are still pretty cool, even though they're not French. They've been producing music since the early 2000s, and their stuff's a really nice mix of acoustic and electric instruments, and they blend a mix of styles, so it's quite modern folk, and mostly up-tempo stuff too. And they've released two albums, and they're said to be working on their third, but they've also just embarked on this new UK tour. So I imagine they're going to be testing out quite a bit of new material, which is always quite fun. You've got musicians kind of, you know, trying to get from you what you're going to like and not going to like, so pretty cool to take part in that. They're also really charismatic, and their lyrics are often kind of surreal, and they've got lots of literary influences, so it's often kind of like folklore storytelling and fairy tales involved.
Sounds like your kind of thing, really.
It sounds pretty cool. And if that's your kind of thing as well, then you can check them out tomorrow night on Thursday at the Jericho Tavern from 8 p.m.
Even if they aren't French.
Even if they aren't French.
What else could you do tomorrow evening?
Well, tomorrow evening, if you don't want indie folk, how about opera?
Obviously, the two poles of my musical experience. This is Thursday night.
This is Thursday night to Saturday at the St John the Evangelist Church on Iffley Road.
Beautiful venue.
It's a group of students from Oxford University. They've set up Oxford Opera, and they are staging Handel's Hercules. take that all in.
Yeah.
So the team's made up of really talented students. Some of them are also choristers at Christchurch, or the orchestra's also students as well, and they're performing the opera in full, in English and with surtitles. So they're trying to make it as inclusive as you can. Like, you can't be put off at not thinking you won't understand, because it's all in our language. And in the opera, what happens is Hercules returns from war with a captive princess, and then his wife goes insanely jealous, and tragedy ensues. So love triangles, jealousy, cheating, it's got it all. It said it's going to appeal to opera traditionalists, to theatre people, and also soap opera fans. So it's got something for everyone, and Baroque music, which is also pretty splendid. And all of that under the atmospheric roof of the St John the Evangelist Church. Tickets are only £10 as well, so it's pretty cheap for a quite large-scale opera, so there's no excuse. Thursday to Saturday at the St John the Evangelist Church on Iffley Road this week.
That sounds fantastic. Well, I've got something to bring us on to a slightly more sombre note. This Friday, the 22nd, is the 50th anniversary, or whatever you want to call it, of the assassination of President Kennedy in 1963.
The exact day,
yes. Mm. The 50 years to the day since those three fatal shots in Dallas, or maybe four, or maybe, you know, secret shots from the grassy knoll, depending on which conspiracy theory you subscribe to. Anyway, to mark this momentous occasion, there's going to be a talk about the impact of the Kennedy assassination on American politics. It's going to be at the Rothermere American Institute, and it's going to be a talk by two people who know quite a bit about the subject. One is a former correspondent in Washington for The Times, and the other one is a professor of American politics. And they're going to be talking about how the Kennedy assassination still has impact today.
Right.
There's also going to be the first screening of a new American documentary about the assassination. So tell us, Anais, give us the real facts. Do you think that Oswald did it?
Yes.
Well, you're in the minority. 59% of Americans believe that there was something fishy about the Kennedy assassination.
Is the documentary exploring the conspiracy theories and that kind of thing, or is the documentary more about upholding what the non-conspiracy idea of the truth is?
I think that it's more about a sort of serious approach to the result. But I'm sure there will be some conspiracy nuts along to liven everyone's day.
If that's you, go along.
Exactly. Air your theories about the magic bullet. I'm sure that these serious American political analysts will be delighted to hear it. That's on at 5 p.m. in the Rothermere American Institute. If you just can't get enough of the Kennedy assassination, there's also a music event called Requiem 63. That's on there on Friday evening. It's commemorating not just the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, but also of C.S. Lewis and Aldous Huxley.
I was thinking C.S. Lewis was the same year.
They died on the same day.
Was it?
Yes, C.S. Lewis and Aldous Huxley, two giants of British literature. But they got buried, completely buried. No one heard about their... I mean, it would be like dying on the same day as September the 11th, you know. No one would ever know about you. Anyway, but to commemorate these three important people, and there's going to be a programme of vocal music, including a song that was written for Kennedy's funeral. That's on at Exeter College Chapel at 8 p.m. on Friday.
Something would be a little bit less upsetting, less lost. Well, I guess in a way, it is another loss.
Too soon? 50 years ago? Anyway.
It's just a combination. I didn't realise...
Yeah, three great people.
Three giants. Mm. So, but this is a loss in a way. It's the last Life Friday of 2013. Fridays started back at the beginning of the year, and they are basically the icing on the cake of every month at the Ashmolean Museum. And this month, they are planning an association with Folk Oxford, who are the organisers of the Oxford Folk Weekend, which was a huge success in April this year. And it's going to be even better. There's loads of plans already for 2014. So, Folk Life Friday was obviously going to be tons of music, including local favourites Jackie Oates, James Bell and Steph West, who we probably all talked about plenty of times on this podcast. And you can also have a go at making music yourself. There's some kind of carol sessions and sing-along sessions, which sound pretty fun. The Bake Collection are also going to be displaying some of their ancient instruments, and you'll get to play on some replicas.
Oh, I got so excited there for a moment. I was like, yeah, let me at those ancient instruments.
No. You can look at the ancient ones and then have a go on the replicas. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a couple of Kaylees, there's Morris dancing, there's going to be talks, and a couple of films as well.
Goodness me, this Ashmolean.
Don't break anything, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I Live Fridays, I think, absolutely wonderful. And it's so trusting of the Ashmolean to open up their collection of ancient paintings and priceless statuary and just let drunk people come in and dance around it. It's amazing.
It's very fun.
And you would not get this chance anywhere else.
And Oxford has a really rich folk heritage and also a really buzzing current folk scene, so you can't really avoid but getting drawn into it. So you should pop into the Ashmolean between 7 and 10 p.m. and feast yourself on the folk this Friday.
Well, Friday evening is going to be a very busy evening because, as you heard from my beautiful singing earlier, this is Christmas Light Night. It kicks off Friday. We're going to have the Oxford City Christmas lights switched on. Get your present buying in now, guys. But it's going to be an absolutely amazing evening on Friday night. There's going to be a parade down St Giles of 500 children and young people illuminating the city with handmade lanterns. There's also going to be a Christmas market in St Giles, live music stages, and a packed programme of free events on the Friday evening.
And all over the weekend.
Absolutely, yeah, but I'll talk about those in a second. Stealing my thunder.
too keen.
Jumping in. Let me tell you about a few of the things you can do on Friday night, after you watch the parade, perhaps, and before you go to Live Friday. You see, we've got it all planned for you. You can go along to the Museum of the History of Science on Broad Street, where there is an exhibition called Let It Snow. Fascinating facts about the wonders of crystals. Crystals, of course, including snowflakes. The number of possible crystalline structures that a snowflake could form is many trillions of times larger than the number of atoms in the universe. If, for the entire history of the Earth, snowflakes keep on falling, the chances two of them will be exactly alike are essentially zero. Go and learn about that at the University Museum of the History of Science. There's also going to be Christmas storytelling at the Oxford Playhouse. There's going to be free opening of some wonderful spaces in Oxford. The North Gate Tower at St Michael's and the Bodleian Library's Divinity School are both open for free.
And the Convocation House in the Bodleian as well, so get into that one as well. Sneak in.
Because normally these places, not only are they you have to pay to get in, but you have to book in advance to go on a special tour. This is one of the very few times in the year you can just go along to the Bodleian and look inside.
A small window of time to get into all these places.
Exactly. And there's also going to be a rather unusual event on Gloucester Green. It's called Fireflow. And what they're doing is they're building a 4 metre high pillar of flame on Gloucester Green. You are invited to post your hopes and dreams into the fire.
Wow!
Yeah, although some would say that the connotations of having your hopes and dreams consumed Fermented. In flame, exactly, might not be the most positive one, but never mind, it's fine anyway. And then, as you said earlier, on Saturday and Sunday, the fun will continue. There's going to be a Christmas market on St Giles, live music, free arts activities across the city at places like the Museum of Oxford and the Ashmolean, and a midnight skate at Oxford Ice Rink.
Oh, lovely.
It's all happening. You can see full details on oxfordchristmas.com.
Well, I also looked at a couple of things to see what I might be doing. They've got a really great sort of tab where you can make your own itinerary on that website, and so there's a couple of things I've picked out as well.
Which are the most obscure and artsy of these that I could attend?
Exactly. Well, I'm going to be looking out for the Snow Factory Elves, who are going to be at the Oxford Castle Quarter. It's quite mysterious what they're up to, but there's going to be a snow factory there, I think, every evening until Christmas. You're going to have to find out what it is. You're going to have to speak to the elves. Look out for that.
Every crystal individually made by a bespoke elf. Exactly. No two alike.
And I'm also going to be checking out a brand new audio play called Our Daily Bread, which is by a new theatre company who are based in Oxford called Parson and Plath. And it's inspired by East Oxford's independent bakery, Gibbons, and involves my favourite meal of the day, breakfast.
I like a bit of breakfast.
So it's a 15-minute walk around East Oxford, which then you end up going to a school and getting some jam and toast and kind of having some community celebration after that. It's going to be pretty exciting.
I'm hungry now.
So those are my two highlights for the Ox Christmas.
Good selection. If you're interested in any other events going on this weekend, in addition to the ones we mentioned in this lovely podcast, you can of course go to dailyinfo.co.uk for a full list of every event going on in the city.
We also list loads and loads of jobs which are on offer, and you can find places to let, be that a room or a flat.
Moving on to Saturday night, I've got a wonderful event for you at the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot. It is Giles Brandreth. He is a former Tory minister. He's been a royal confidant, and he is of course a showbiz raconteur par excellence.
And now stand up.
It's a storyteller. It's a sort of storytelling comedy show. You know, if you've seen him on like QI or Have I Got News For You or Just A Minute, or on the more than 300 times he's been on Countdown, I tell you, my granny must love him. You'll know that he has a kind of warm, charming, you know, little anecdote-fueled stuff. But this isn't just a show for the golden oldies. I saw this show in Edinburgh where it got tons of 5-star reviews because it's really witty and charming and name-dropping. My God, the name-dropping. It's a really, really funny show, to my surprise. Like, I expected it to be quite sort of gentle and sweet, but...
Is it Tory propaganda?
Honestly, the politics stuff, it doesn't really exist. I think Giles Brandreth would be the first to admit that he wasn't the most successful politician in British history. He famously claims that his constituents hated him and he hated them.
Oh. But, honest man.
I know, but it's hard to imagine because he is so nice and so funny. The story.
His old age, though, he's probably softened up.
Well, he does come on dressed as a jester at the beginning, but I can sense a little hostility coming from one side of this podcast booth. But no, it's genuinely very funny guy. The story about his monolingual uncle stuck in France and trying to buy a black hat for his wife's funeral. It had me absolutely in stitches. The show is called Looking for Happiness, and I would go along, especially if you're kind of cynical, thinking Giles Brandreth is a bit old hat. Well, he's old, but, you know, he's not a hat.
He's not a hat. No. Or a black hat in France, for that matter.
Yeah, well, that anecdote, really, you need to go and hear that one, because the punchline is just hilarious. It's at the Cornerstone Arts Centre, Saturday at 8 p.m, and I really strongly recommend it. It was one of my favourite unexpected hits from Edinburgh this year.
You convinced me.
despite the Tory propaganda that may or may not be within the show. And we're now joined by Hini Pawsey, who is going to tell us about a very special, very individual event that you can do on Sunday.
As all you cultural theorists know, these traditions that we have, like the ideological glue that draw us together into a community. And there's something that people have been doing that have been, it's been part of being English for a very, very long time. So ever since medieval times in England, it's been a tradition on the 25th Sunday after Trinity to make a pudding.
We love a pudding.
I make a pudding many evenings. I don't know whether that's part of an English tradition.
That's tiramisu count.
Yeah. And this Sunday is the 25th Sunday after Trinity.
So it's supposed to be prepared with 13 ingredients, so symbolising the 12 apostles and Christ, and then every member of the family would stir it from east to west to honour the Magi and their supposed journey in that direction. So it's got proper roots in nice bits of Christian folklore and that kind of stuff.
And this is Christmas pudding.
Yes, this is the origins of Christmas pudding. So I think it's shifted from the 25th Sunday after Trinity, which is a bit of a movable feast, to the first Sunday before Advent begins. So that's nice and easy to remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the collect, the prayer for that, the first Sunday before Advent, starts up, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by thee be plenteously rewarded." So a nice little pun there about stirring up, stirring puddings. So it's become the Sunday when everyone makes their Christmas pudding. And it's a great tradition. And the recipe's basically unchanged since the 17th century.
Oh my God!
Like so many things in Oxford are.
Yes, that's true. So you can take some dried fruit and candied peel and spices, and then something sweet like sugar and treacle and molasses and that kind of stuff, and some breadcrumbs, maybe some flour, suet, veggie suet, say, available in Uhuru if you don't want to eat beef or mutton fat in your
pudding.
And some eggs, and then something alcoholic, so rum or brandy or stout. I didn't know you could put stout in, but I did a bit of research. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mix them all up, put in a couple of sixpences or 20p's or something so people can break their teeth.
Once upon a time, of course, those would have been solid silver, but now the times have moved on.
Yes, these times of austerity.
George Osborne is out there sticking his fingers in the Christmas puddings.
Yep. Yeah, so then you put it into your pudding basin or wrap it up in a cloth and steam it for about 8 hours. So if you're in your house for 8 hours on Sunday, you can do this.
Make sure you keep lots of water in the pan, because otherwise the pan's going to go
yes.
black.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will never come off.
Yeah, yeah. Never, ever.
Wow. Recipes on Oxcast. This is a first.
Yeah. So, steam it this weekend, get it nice and cooked all the way through, then put it somewhere cool and dry, and Christmas Day you can steam it for another couple of hours to warm it up, and then, yeah, it'll be lovely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And if you wanted to check dailyinfo.co.uk, you can see very shortly we will have up that same recipe, unfortunately without the dulcet tones of Hinny's voice describing it to you. But,
our cultural theorist and cooking extraordinaire, we've just found out today.
Good combo.
So, moving on to Monday, there is a new music festival hitting town.
That's right, it's the Oxford City Music Festival, and we brought in music expert Richard Brotherton to tell us all about it. I'm here with Richard Brotherton, and we're going to be talking about Oxford City Music Festival. Now, what could this possibly be, Richard?
Well, it is a music festival occurring in Oxford City.
I'm astounded.
And what you might want to know is it's not just what it is and where it is, but when it is.
And when is it?
It is running from the 25th to the 30th of November, so next week.
And tell us about some of the bands who are going to be playing.
Well, there are, I think we've got over 30 different gigs occurring around town during that week.
And that's fantastic. And these are all local
all local bands, yeah. Obviously, I don't want to give any particular band too much prominence. There is a wide range. I mean, I shall list a few. So at the head of the room, we've got Marika Tyre, Denny mm-hmm. Islet, Heavy Dexters, so that's sort of jazz and funk. Mm-hmm. James Street Tavern, we've got Beard of Destiny, Howling Trail, Daggers, Paul Morris, that's sort of blues. At the cellar, we've got reggae from Macatown, the Dublins, and punk from Comrade Anero and Headcount. Folk and acoustic at the Bear, so we've got Osprey, Lewis Newcomb Jones, Moogie Man, and those are just a few examples.
Yeah, sounds great. Okay, so what sort of venues are people going to be
playing? So, I mean, if I list the venues we have, we've got mm-hmm. the Head of the River, James right. Street Tavern, the Corridor, the Cellar, the Marsh Harrier, the O2 Academy, Hollywell Music Room, White Hart, Bear, Wheat Sheaf, Jericho.
That's brilliant. It's a really nice spread right across the city as well.
And it's also nice to have a festival in winter.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So there's an entire week of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
And obviously people can find details of that all on...
There is a Facebook group for Oxford City Festival. A lot of the events are free at various venues. So the events at the Head of the River, James Street Tavern, the Bear, I believe are all free. Tickets are available online at We Got Tickets for other venues.
So we can look forward to a week of great events then.
Yeah, certainly.
Thanks very much for talking about it to us, Richard.
Thank you.
So that's the Oxford City Music Festival, all on all of next week. And you can, of course, see the listings on dailyinfo.co.uk as well.
Finally, to end off this podcast, there is an international touring super show called Thriller, of course, which hits Oxford. It's celebrating the music of Michael Jackson, and the show's proved a huge hit on the West End and all over the world. It's toured to 26 countries, seen by millions of people. More people than Wasted Bananas. How about that? And you can go along for 2 hours, which covers 40 years of one man's music.
From the Jackson 5 to the...
From the early days, different singers who play him at different stages of his career.
I see.
And so it covers all the hits.
Next best thing to seeing Jack Michael in concert, of course.
He approved of this.
Oh, did he?
Because they started developing the show before he died, and he, you know, gave it the go... I was happy. I don't know if you saw the final product.
Because I did see that the tagline of this one was called The Legend Lives On, which, considering it's not only about Michael Jackson, but also is named after his most famous music video, including Zombies, seemed perhaps just a little mixed message, possibly.
That's only you, Alwyn. That's only you. It's a really, really slick show, and it's a fantastic tribute. It's not a jukebox musical or a sort of musical biography, so don't expect, like, a plot or narrative. It's just hit after hit after hit. And there's also an amazing band and great backing dancers who are kind of just as good as the vocalists. And I'm fairly sure, from everything I've read, every audience has been up on their feet at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
So wear comfortable shoes and go along to the New Theatre next Tuesday to Thursday. It's on at 7:30 p.m.
Right. And that's all that we've got time for this week. Of course, if you do want more, there is the full listings for Oxfordshire's events on dailyinfo.co.uk. There are also jobs.
Houses.
Rooms.
Things to buy and sell.
And...
you can also follow us on Twitter, @dailyinfooxford, or find us on Facebook, just search Daily Info Oxford.